One dark night down in Egypt, a fearful time had come for a young Hebrew boy who was his father's firstborn son, with the angel of death soon passing through. It was hard to fall asleep, and one little lamb stuck in his mind as he lay there counting sheep. He wondered why the little lamb had to die, and why his blood was on the door. Through the wind and rain, it had still remained. He wanted to be sure, so he called out to his father with a trembling voice, so scared, crying, "Father, please will you look and see if the blood is still there?" And he said, "Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The wind may blow and the rain may fall, but it just won't wash away. The blood will stand the raging storm. It's been applied with loving care. Safe, secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there. Over all the damage the storm had left behind, a flood of endless questions and doubt had filled my mind, and the fear that gripped my troubled soul brought me to my knees in prayer, crying, "Father, please will you look and see if the blood is still there?" And he said, "Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. Wash away. The blood will stand the raging storm. It's been applied with loving care. Stay secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there. Stay secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there."
Isn't that a blessing? Aren't you glad you're safe and secure? Wonderful. Thank you, folks. I appreciate it.
Lord, you've deceived me. Oh, Lord, you've done me wrong. I've been out here preaching faithfully. Seems you've left me all alone. So
So I said, I'll not speak or mention your name at all. But your word is like a fire burning in my bones. I can't quit when there's a fire burning in my soul. Sometimes I want to lay it down. He gives me strength to carry on. I know while on this battlefield, sometimes we'll face defeat, but I can't quit when there's a fire burning in me. So many are quitting, they're laying down the sword. They've grown weary in this battle we're fighting for our Lord. Oh, but when I think of what He did on the cross at Calvary, I take up the blood-stained banner and march with the redeemed. No, I can't quit when there's a fire burning in my soul. Sometimes I want to lay it down. He gives me strength to carry on. I know while on this battlefield, sometimes we'll face defeat, but I can't quit when there's a fire burning in me. I can't quit when there's a fire burning in my soul. Sometimes I want to lay it down. He gives me strength to carry on. I know while on this battlefield, sometimes we'll face defeat, but I can't quit when there's a fire burning in me. I know while on this battlefield, sometimes we'll face defeat, but I can't quit when there's a fire. No, I can't quit when there's a fire. I can't quit when there's a fire burning in me. No, I can't quit. Impending storms just ahead, I could see the darkened clouds. There's no way around it. There is no way out. There was danger all around me. Surely I would drown till the force of His presence made the waves to lay down. He walked out on the water, facing the wind. How it roared and it thundered, till He raised His hand. Then the waves that were raging were suddenly when He stepped between me and the storm. The Master said not a word as He stepped out on the sea, but my heart was hearing clearly what He spoke to me. Be not afraid, for it is I won't leave you all alone. With my eyes fixed on the Savior, I will no longer see the storm. He walked out on the water, facing the wind. How it roared and it thundered, till He raised His hand. Then the waves that then he steps between me and the storm.
The
Take your Bible and go to Psalm 27, and the Heyman girls are going to sing tonight. I'm looking forward to it. I've been hearing them practice on Wednesdays, and come on, ladies, y'all get ready, and they'll sing for us tonight. Psalm 27, and you find that place. Go ahead and stand with me in honor of God's Word, and I'm going to read the last two verses of chapter 27, Psalm 27 and verse number 13. And this is what David's pen gave us, the words of God here. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the evening so far. It's been a blessing to hear Joe and Becca sing, to hear these fine young men sing, to see the violinist play, to be able to sing together, and can it be that wonderful love you have for us, to be able to sing together and worship you, Lord, the great songs that we were privileged to sing tonight, all hail the power of Jesus' name, to pray for our missionaries to give, to enjoy the fellowship of being here, And now we come to your word, and I pray that you'll, Lord, just anoint the preaching, speak to our hearts, bless these ladies as they sing, prepare us for it. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Blessing. Thank you, ladies, for singing for us tonight. And also, I was going to point out earlier, but Jessica is here somewhere, right, Luke? She brought Camden, and so glad to have Camden in church tonight. He's probably sleeping through the service, which is like a lot of other folks, amen? So nothing new, so, but I don't know. She must be out with him right now. I don't see her in here. But anyway, we're thankful for God's gift there for Luke and Jessica. Is this thing on? Because I'm not hearing very good. Are y'all hearing okay out there? Not? Okay, let me see if I got it on. It's on up here, so Tom will get it fixed here in just a minute. All right, I want to speak tonight on the subject, believing to see. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Father, help us tonight in your word. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. You've already spoken to our hearts through the good music, really encouraged us. Lord, if there's somebody that's not saved here tonight, they've heard a lot of good music, a lot of truth in music about Jesus Christ and, Lord, how he calms the storms in life. And he's there for the remedy of our sin-sick soul. And, God, I just pray tonight that even through the music, you might draw somebody to Christ through the good songs that we've heard. And then, Lord, help the rest of us tonight through the message. And, Lord, as we look back on a very turbulent year, I pray that we get some good out of your book tonight. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Given the past 362 days of our lives, do you really think that all that can go wrong this year is behind us. I mean, there's only 4 days left in 2020, but you probably aren't willing to bet the farm that, you know, nothing else negative will occur in this calendar year. About the time you think, well, that'll be the end of it, here it comes. We went to Iowa on Christmas Day because it was the kids' turns to go everywhere else. So we went to Iowa on Christmas Day because Joyce's dad got home on Wednesday from being 6 weeks. John, he was 6 weeks in the hospital rehab with COVID pneumonia, too. And it was a miracle that he lived, 88 years of age. So we ate dinner at 3 o'clock. And Steve and Sally were there, and Heidi and Brad, of course. So that meant that all three of John's kids and their spouses were there at 3 o'clock for the meal. And then at 6 o'clock, we were taking him back to the hospital because his oxygen dropped to 68. And he was admitted back in the hospital with his lungs half full of pneumonia again. So they probably let him out too early. He's still there. He's going to be there. They're treating him with some antibiotics. And so you just wonder to yourself, when is this thing going to come to an end? And then we spent the night in a motel, and we got bit up with either bed bugs or spiders or something. Both of us. It's like, okay, can we fast forward to December 31st, 2020, and, you know, get this behind us? It wasn't a ragtag motel either, but I don't know what they had, but I'm going to call them tomorrow and tell them they got some uninvited guests in their motel. But anyway, it just, and you know, I know Brother Maxwell's mother went back in the hospital. Was it yesterday, Brian, or did Christmas Day? Christmas Day went back in the hospital. So, you know, what do you see when you look back over the landscape of 2020? As you gaze at what you see, are you encouraged or are you discouraged? Are you fueled up? Or are you fainting? And I guess it all depends on what you and I believe to see. Not what we see, but what we believe to see. There's a big difference. David's pen was used to give us this song. There's not much said about the circumstances of when he wrote it, but the little heading at the beginning of the psalm where it says a psalm of David, that appears over 17 different psalms in the book of Psalms. Now, most of the time, there's more information given about to whom David wrote it or the situation in his life that was happening when he wrote it. But here, as you can see, chapter 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, I'm looking at all those chapters in my Bible here. They just simply say, a psalm of David. But when you read it, it's fairly obvious that it came at a difficult time in David's life. And this is not my message tonight, but I want to make this point. I think it's interesting to note, to consider, that the giant killer could be nigh unto fainting. You wouldn't expect that of the giant killer. You wouldn't expect that the giant killer would be close to giving up. You wouldn't think that the giant killer would be close to calling it in. You wouldn't think that the giant killer would be close to tapping out of the fight. But people, the best of men are men at best. And sometimes men are on top of the circumstances, and at other times the circumstances are so crushing that they threaten to cause a man to faint. And according to David's own words, the giant killer, Goliath's killer, according to his own words, that is where he was at the time of the writing of this psalm. He was close to fainting. And even though the time is not given exactly, it's pretty certain that it happened around the time when David was at the cave of Adullam. He was being chased by Saul. He was running for his life. And you know, when he was there in that cave, his parents showed up with other relatives. Now, most every time in life, you're happy if you're not living with your parents, you're happy when they show up. But when you're running for your life and you're trying to take care of your own livelihood, trying to stay alive, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to have your aged parents show up because now you've got to tend to their needs as well as trying to keep yourself alive. And the Bible also says in 2 Samuel 22, that a host of men showed up to help him. You remember the description of those men? The Bible says everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented came to help David. Now, oh boy, that's good. That's the crew you need when you're running for your life, okay? So, but that's who came. And when you read this psalm, you look at verse number 2, he talks about the wicked, he talks about the enemies, he talks about his foes. In verse number 3, he talks about a host encamping against him and war rising against him. In verse number 5, he talks about the time of trouble. He shall hide me. So he's speaking about all. Look at verse number 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now, his father and mother had not turned their backs on him. After they showed up at the cave of Adullam, David took them. He said, what am I going to do with mom and dad? I mean, I got to run for my life. So I got to care for dad and mom. So he went to the king of Moab. And he asked the king of Moab, he said, can you watch over my parents until I get this all settled, and then I'll come back and get them from you? And the king of Moab agreed that. And so he got them settled there with the king of Moab, and he left them. He loosed himself from them. And that's what the word forsake in the chapter means. It means they loosed from him. He left them. David was loosed from them. After he left them with the king of Moab, they hadn't forsaken him in the sense of turning their back on him, but he was leaving them behind. In verse number 11, he talks about mine enemies. In verse number 12, he speaks again about mine enemies and the false witnesses that are risen up against him. So it's a time, obviously, a difficult time in life for David. A time when the circumstances were just pressing down on top of him. And by his own admission, he almost fainted. Almost. You got the pressure of running, hiding, family, friends, people who were in need of help from him. All of that bearing down on his shoulders, and it just about got the best of him. He said in verse number 13, I had fainted. I was that close to fainting. And he would have fainted except for the goodness of God. Now, how could he look back over all that had taken place, all that was going on, Saul was chasing him, how could he see the goodness of God? I mean, the enemies are surrounding him. He had to be careful where he put his next step. He could get killed. He got the demand on him by people who were there who needed help from him as much as he could use from them. How could he see the goodness of God in all of that? I'm not sure he could in those particular circumstances, but he could believe to see the goodness of God. He can believe to see it. So David said, man, God has been good. And somebody says, how do you see that, David? He said, I believe to see it. I may not see it, but I believe God has been good, even if I can't see the evidence of it. And people, therein lies a truth that you and I need in order to keep from fainting. Seeing to believe is not what we need. Believing to see. Yes. Do you understand the difference? What do you see when you look back at this long year? I mean, starting in March until Christmas morning when some mysterious explosion goes off in downtown Nashville. I mean, it's just, what do you see when you look back over the landscape? It's been one thing after another. Virus, the stores and businesses are shut. People dying alone. Alone in hospital beds and rooms for months with no one allowed to visit them. John, you were there 6 weeks. Is that right, Angela? 6 weeks? 7 weeks. Not one visit from Maryland. Not one visit from his pastor. We talked on the phone several times. Not one visit. Riots, burning buildings, hating the police, the stolen election, distancing, masks, dictatorial governors ruling like despots, property destroyed, statues torn down, can't have Aunt Jemima pancakes anymore, can't have Uncle Ben's rice, can't have Land of Lakes butter, change the football team, we can't call them the Redskins or the Indians anymore. It's just, summer camps were closed. Zoom classroom lessons for school, graduations canceled, senior trip couldn't go, missions trips can't take it, parking lot services, vacation plans nixed, unemployment mayors sending police to church services right up here in Chicago. Hey, looking at all that will make you faint. Unless you see the goodness of God, you say, I don't see the goodness of God. You believe to see that God is good. How do we keep from fainting? We see the goodness of God through all that. Can we see the goodness of God in all that? No, but I don't have to see it to believe that God is good. I believe to see that God is good. And that's how we keep from fainting. By faith, we see the goodness of God. Whether we can see it with our natural eyes or not, by faith, we believe to see it. This is what Paul talked about, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. He said, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk, church, believing to see, not seeing to believe. Think about this. If Noah had waited to see rainfall before he believed it would fall, he would have drowned. If Abraham had waited to see the title to the land that God gave him, before he went looking for it, he would never have left the country of his father's idols. Never would have left. If Rahab had waited to see the destruction of Jericho, before she put the scarlet cord in the window, she would have died with the rest of them when the walls came tumbling down. But all three of those people in the Bible, and many more, they could not see to believe. They had to believe to see. Noah believed to see rain before he saw it. And he built the ark that saved him and his family. Abraham believed the title to the land was his before he ever set one foot on it. And he left the idolatrous country of his father to find it. Rahab believed the city would be destroyed before it was destroyed. And she put the scarlet cord in the window as soon as the spies left. And she and her family were spared. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Believing to see it. You may not see it. You may not see the goodness of God in the landscape of this past year. But that doesn't mean God hasn't been good. And we believe to see God's goodness by faith. If David had waited to see the evidence of God's goodness before he believed to see it, he would have fainted. And if you and I look back over the year and fail to believe to see that through it all, God was really good, we will faint also. You know, somebody has said, I've heard it said, that when David used that phrase here in verse number 13, I had fainted when I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Somebody said that he was talking about seeing the goodness of God in heaven. The land of the living. And really, that's what heaven is it not? It's the land of the living. But people, that phrase is used 15 times in your Old Testament. Land of the living. The land of the living. 15 times. And every time, it's always a reference to this world. Isaiah chapter 38, verse number 11. Isaiah quotes Hezekiah. Hezekiah says, I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. So if the land of the living is a reference to heaven, then the Lord's not there, and I'm not sure I want to go there. Okay? Because the land of the living is a reference to this world. Isaiah used it about Jesus in chapter 53. He said that Jesus was cut off out of the land of the living for his people. He's talking about the crucifixion of Christ. He's talking about this world. David is not talking about heaven either. He is talking about the circumstances that he was in at the time. He had not lost courage. He had not lost heart. And it would have become worse had he not, by faith, seen that God was good in his present circumstances, even when he couldn't see it with his natural eyes. He could see it by faith. And you and I better see by faith God's goodness in all of this, or we will lose heart and courage as well. You say, Pastor, how do you know that we can believe to see God's goodness in all of this? I just don't see God's goodness in the virus and the loneliness and the riots and the election. I'm not sure I see it. How can you see it? I'm not sure I see it either. But I believe it's there. I don't doubt God's goodness in the land of the living in the present circumstances we are in. Think about this, people. How many of us ever saw God create animals, trees, plants, or mountains? How many of us saw Him do that? A total of zero. But we believe He did it. Why do we believe He did it? The Bible says it did. How many of us saw God part the Red Sea? That's a pretty outstanding miracle. I don't think any of us saw God part the Red Sea, but we all believe He did because what? The Bible says it. I never saw God. You never saw God send fire on Mount Carmel. But I believe God sent fire on Mount Carmel. You believe God sent fire on Mount Carmel because God said He sent fire on Mount Carmel. I don't have to explain it. He said it. I never saw Jesus. You never saw Jesus feed thousands of people with five pieces of bread, two pieces of fish. But I believe He did, and you believe He did, because the Bible says He did. And I could go on and on and on and on. And church, I may not, you may not have seen the evidence of God's goodness in all of this past year, but we believe that He is good because the Bible says He's good. It's not enough that you and I experience it, because you can't build anything on experience. You never judge the Bible by experiences. You always judge your experiences by the Bible. Why do we believe that God is good? Why do we believe, as we look back over the landscape of 2020, that somewhere in all of this, God is good? We believe that because the Bible tells us. Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Psalm 86:5, "For Thou, Lord, art good." Psalm 100, verse 5, "For the Lord is good." Psalm 107, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." I don't need to see the evidence of it. I've got the evidence of it right here in this book. What I need to do is just believe what's written. Just believe what's written. John, I can't look at 7 weeks in the hospital on the respirator, ventilator, 16 days, and by yourself down there. I can't see that situation. I didn't know you were going to be here tonight. You surprised me. I can't look at that and see God's goodness in that. I mean, I see God's goodness in keeping you alive. But by faith, I believe that somehow, some way, somewhere, God's goodness was there through that whole 7 week time. Because the book says God is good. I believe to see God's goodness in and throughout all of 2020 because the Bible says He is good. Matthew 19:17, Jesus said this, "There is none good but one, that is God." God. God is good in the land of the living. And church, we can believe to see it, even if we can't see the evidence of it, looking back over the landscape of this year, we can believe to see it. Believing to see it will keep us from fainting. If you're looking at corporate circumstances for America, if you're looking, I'm talking about America as a nation, if you're looking at your family circumstances, if you're looking at personal circumstances, if you're looking at circumstances of friends, if you're looking at circumstances of businesses that were owned by your friends or people you know, you may not see the evidence of God's goodness and all that's happened this year. But every one of us can believe that somehow, some way, somewhere, through all of this, God has been good. He has been good. It's easy to say if you haven't been sick. It's easy to say if your business is doing okay, the company you work for is doing okay. But some of you have suffered personal loss. Your health, maybe financially, other ways, friends, relatives. You try to find the goodness of God in it. You say, Pastor, I just can't see it. And I'm not down on you for that. But I encourage you tonight, believe to see it. Believe to see. By faith, that God is good somewhere in that. Because God's book says that He is. That's my message tonight. I wondered why it was so short, but now I know. We had all this singing and stuff. It's been a blessing. We're coming to the end. These are the last 4 days. And believe you me, it may not be done yet. But regardless of what happens between now and Thursday night, and even in the next year, we can believe to see that God is good. We've been singing the song since this is the night of music 2.0. We've been singing the song, God is still good. God is still good. And we're going to end the message part of it, have a brief invitation by standing together. Find the back of your hymn book. Ladies, you're coming to help us here with the music. Find the back of the hymn book and let's sing it tonight. And you know what? Be reminded that even if you cannot see the evidence of God's goodness and everything that's happened, you can believe to see that God is still good. As I look back on all of my days, so many times in so many ways, God is still good. We're singing. As I look back on all of my days, so many times in so many ways, I have been blessed and all I can say is God is still good. And then sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain. Sometimes the tears fall like the rain. But through it all, He's never changed. See the evidence of it, you still can believe to see it. Father, we bow before you tonight with a grateful heart. You are a good God. And even when the circumstances press around us and it seems like there's no escape from it, we just go from one thing to the next. It's hard sometimes to see your goodness in people dying, being alone in a hospital room, three or four people attending a graveside service. It's not always easy, God, to see your goodness and all that, but we can believe it anyway. We believe to see it. God, grant us that faith. Strengthen us. David went on to say, wait on you and be of good courage. And you'll strengthen us. You will. We don't know what the days ahead hold for us, but we know this. No matter what they hold, you're good. And we believe it. And we believe to see it. So, Father, help the one that's kind of confused. And think of the young man I heard about this morning in the Sunday school class asking, the 14-year-old boy asking his mother, where is God in all this dying? Lord, unsaved people without Christ, oh my goodness, would you please bring the lost to Christ through this? Would you help us to be careful, Lord, to be a witness when possible? And Lord, just help us as your people to know that we can be a testimony in life by believing to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Help our church. Bless our dear people here tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You like David? Was almost fainted. Giant killer. Almost tapped out. Till he believed to see. He believed to see. He couldn't see the evidence of it, but he believed to see it. Look, if you're here tonight, you're not saved. You've heard these folks sing about Jesus, the peace that he can bring. He's the remedy for a sin-sick soul. If you're not saved, we'd love to show you tonight how to come to Christ in simple faith, believing. And the way to do that is just simply, in just a moment, make your way to the front. Tell Brother Allen here, I don't know if I'm saved. He'll have ladies show ladies, men show men how to be saved. But if you're a child of God here tonight, there's been a little bit of a fainting spell close to it. Just all the things of this year. I know some of you, we've had church members bury spouses and then turn right around and bury a brother. It's been rough. But we can still believe to see that God is good in the land of the living. May the Lord help us tonight. As the music plays, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you have a need, would you come tonight and spend a few moments praying here? Let the Lord speak to your heart. If you're not saved, I would invite you just to simply step out of your seat and make your way to the front. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how to come to Christ tonight. David said he'd almost gone down. Had he not seen, believed to see the goodness of God. Those words are not their own accident, folks. That's a truth. Believing to see it. While we wait. Believing to see it. Lord, thank you for the time we had together tonight in the church house. Thank you for the guest visitors you've sent our way and blessed us. Thank you for the folks that have been home for a visit. So good to see them. I pray that you give journeying mercies for all traveling. And Father, we just thank you. Thank you for being with us through this year. Thank you Thank you for your goodness. When we can't see the evidence of it, we believe to see it, and it encourages us. We know it's there. Someday we'll see it. You'll reveal it to us. We all gather in that wonderful land called heaven. We thank you for the day you've given us, the services you've helped us to enjoy today. We don't take it for granted. You give us a great week. Bring us back Wednesday rejoicing and looking forward to good lessons from your word. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.